Okay, warriors, you are listening to Unqualified Therapists. Remember, stay wild and weird.
Hey, warriors, this is Amy.
And I'm Sarah. We started this podcast because mental health is complicated and the stigma surrounding it can make us feel alone.
So we are here to share authentic stories in order to normalize and prioritize mental health.
We believe in professional therapy. We both use it on our own healing journeys.
But we also know it isn't one size fits all. So we are here to provide tools from our own experiences,
as well as those from our guests and professionals that come on the show.
Thank you for being here as we navigate the complexities of mental health and mental illness together.
Remember, hold on, warriors. We're gonna make it. Warrior.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Unqualified Therapist.
It is still Mental Health Awareness Month. We are still in the month of May, which is the time where we are just going to yell into your ears all about mental health awareness. Like, we don't do that all other 365 days of the year.
True.
But this is our month to get your attention. And speaking of attention, my attention span
That. Nice segue.
Thank you. Thank you very much. My attention span has been in the crapper lately. I've had some massive brain fog going on. I don't know what's going on, but I've been tired. And I am so thankful that we are back to working with our friends over at Magic Mind, because I have gotten to drink this for the past few days, my little Magic Mind shot. And this little guy is my savior for brain fog. That's my number one thing that I love about this, is that it helps to clear my mind and help me focus. And I drink it with my morning coffee. So I don't even have to give up my coffee, because there's not like a crap load of caffeine in here that makes me feel jittery. I don't feel like that at all, because I do get jittery because I'm a one cup of coffee kind of gal. So if I have any more than that, then I'm like, what's going on, guys? How are we going to do it? And then I crash really hard. So I love that I can drink this along with my coffee, because it's just like the ceremony of the coffee, the hot drink, the yumminess.
You got to have the coffee.
You got to have it. So I love that this product allows you to be able to have it with it.
Yeah, I use mine a little differently. I have been, and you know, no complaints, doing some fun things lately. And so I was so tired before Lizzo, and I thought, oh my gosh, like, I cannot be tired for this. One, it's Lizzo. Two, I paid way too much money for these tickets. So I took a Magic Mind and it worked perfectly. I felt so much better and I was awake and ready to go. I do tend to take mine in the afternoon because I always have an evening thing, whether that be less fun things like academic recognition. I'm not saying I'm not proud of my kid. I'm super proud, but whoa. So things like that, anything in the evening, I need to have a little boost, and I don't really want to always have extra caffeine.
Yeah. When I have the extra caffeine, it affects my sleep a lot. And Magic Mind does not.
It probably affects my sleep. I like to pretend like it doesn't. But Magic Mind is better. So Magic Mind is, it has matcha, which boosts your energy, adaptogens, which helps you relax, nootropics, which keeps you focused, and immunity boosts, vitamin C, D, and echinacea. I mean, I don't know what else you need.
Right, exactly. It literally has everything in this tiny little bottle. It's like the cutest little thing. It's a little 2 ounce guy.
The bottle's so cute.
It is. And the artwork on it is so cute too. That's just a plus. That's a bonus. But yeah, you can shoot
it
back.
It says shake, and then it tells you to breathe. So, you know, in case you forgot, like we all do every day, and then drink.
Yes. Don't breathe and drink. Breathe, then drink.
No. Yeah. Three steps. Three step approach here, peeps. Don't try to combine them.
No. And I've noticed a difference even today, because I've been drinking it for the past few days, that I feel a little bit better with each day and a little less chaotic in the mind. So It's really been helping me be able to keep that focus and get rid of that fog. Yeah, I'm going to try one for the afternoon crash that happens.
It's so good. Yeah. It really is. It's amazing. So we have a code.
We do.
And it is therapists with an S at the end for 20% off of your magic mind. And you get a discount already if you decide to subscribe. So you can stack this on that.
You can pause or cancel anytime. So do that subscribe and save. It is definitely worth it. It takes a nice chunk off. We all love to save some money, especially nowadays when everything seems to be so expensive. But this is definitely right. Worth it and really a great little boost for yourself.
Yeah. So don't forget to use that code therapists for 20% off. We're going to put the link in the show notes so you can go right there.
So this week, we are rounding out the end of Mental Health Awareness Month to talk about something that we've actually never addressed before, which I am shocked since we've been doing this for 2.5 years. And that's really lay out some clear steps on how you can be a mental health advocate. I think that we all want to be, we try to be, and some people are without even realizing it. So you might listen to this and be like, I'm already a mental health advocate of the highest proportions.
Right.
Or you might say those are really easy things that I can start to do today. And that's what we're trying to do too, is give you some really tangible things to do that are easy to access. We're not going to tell you to go out there and, you know, contact the president to start new legislature. Although, you know what? More power to you if you can. That would be amazing. So
if that's your area of expertise and knowledge, you go for it.
Yeah.
Before we get into it, I was going to run down and recap our month.
Yeah.
In case people want to go back. So in, you know that Mental Health Awareness Month is every month for us, but we like to showcase it in May. And week one, we talked.
We talked.
What was that about?
You're having some coffee talk with Amy Baumgardner and Sarah Simone.
No, I'm never going to be able to stop laughing. Oh, gosh. So, okay. In week one, we talked about mental health and mental illness and the difference between the two, and talked also about burnout, which we have talked about before, but it kind of just made sense with the whole idea of our full mental health. In week two, we visited grief again, because sometimes I think it's a good idea to stop back there and remind folks that how to help others and that you are not alone in that grief journey. Week three was a real fun one for us. We did mental health in the workplace. I think we did a really good job with it. I hope that you enjoy that one. I feel like we gave some good information in the most, you know,
concise way we could.
Whatever. Concise and appropriate way. Yes. How about that?
I think we could have gone off the rails on that, and we didn't.
We could have. We were very, I like to say, professional. Now that we've been on TV, I consider myself a professional.
Oh my God, stop.
The television just loves me.
Oh my God.
So anyways, this is terrible. Oh my God, I was trying to be serious.
I'm sorry.
Okay, week four, we had a therapist on talking about trauma therapy. And then this week, as Sarah said, we are talking about what does it mean to be a mental health advocate and how can you do that in some simple ways in your own life.
Yeah. Oh, and if you came here first,
that was such a Sarah Amy, like, what the heck?
Yeah, I was just going to say, if you came here for a serious take, you're in the wrong spot. JK, we take everything very seriously. We really do.
I was going to say, we promise you that all things are taken seriously with a little side of the giggles.
Yeah. That's how we deal, folks. It's how we deal. Mm-hmm. Because as it says in the description of our show, who couldn't do with a little lighthearted fuckery sometimes?
Seriously, things are too dark right now. Mm-hmm. Every which way you turn, it is darker than the last way.
Ain't that the truth?
We're here for that. We're here to light that shit up.
Yeah. So let's light it up. Let's start down that list.
Okay. So the first way, and it's so important, these first few, is to educate yourself, do the research. It's as easy as doing a Google search. Yes, you need to like make sure your sources are reputable, and Sarah's going to talk more about that. But honestly, it just starts with educating yourself and reading books and making sure that you have the knowledge. So let's say that you want to learn about a specific illness. You can listen to podcasts. You can look up, I mean, if you want to read the DSM, go for it, but you do not have to. You can read a book that's written by a professional. You can read other people's stories, because even though they're not licensed, their stories still have a lot of education in them that can really open your eyes to some other sides of the way that, you know, you might have already thought. So really what you're doing is you are breaking some stigma down for yourself. In that first stage, you really want to make sure that you know what you're talking about and that you've kind of cut your own biases out before you go on to number two.
I cannot speak more highly of this number one. And that's because my own stigmas have been shattered time after time with each person that we talk to on this show. I learned so much more about things that I had no knowledge about but had some preconceived notions about. So I'm just so thankful for education and for experts and people that you can really reach out to and learn from.
Yeah. And then reading more than one source is always so important. You just really want to make sure that you know your stuff before you go ahead and talk to other people. And we always say start with your family and friends. They're kind of the easiest / hardest people to start with. And share with them a little bit, you know, even if you don't have your own diagnosis, maybe you could just share about an article that you read, you know, or if there is a diagnosis in the family, maybe share a little bit about what you learned about it. Because I know that, what was that like? I don't even know, 12, 15 years ago that Scott was diagnosed with bipolar disorder. We were all like, what's that? I have no idea what that is. Like, I only know of what I've seen in movies or really nothing. And so helping others to understand the illnesses and really get some facts around it can be a great way to be an advocate for mental health.
So the next way is to share accurate mental health info. And I really want to emphasize accurate, because there's a lot of garbage out there, unfortunately. So you want to find some good sources. My favorite place, my go-to place to go to is NAMI.com, and that's the National Alliance for Mental Illness. And they have excellent resources, links to all kinds of different things. You can learn and educate yourself about different diagnoses there. They have like PDF printouts that you can print out for different things. Pretty much anything that has to do with mental illness and mental health, NAMI has it on their site, including resources of who to reach out to when you are in need of help. Psychology Today is another great resource to go to. That's where you can actually find some therapists in your area and see who is taking clients and who has some openings and some availability. And then as far as social media goes, you can follow and share some accounts. And our favorite accounts are the Real Depression Project and letstalk.mentalhealth. You've heard us share a lot of their information on our shows before, on previous episodes. They are highly researched. They have experts in their social media accounts. And then you can also find other psychologists, psychiatrists, and therapists out there that have social media accounts that are excellent about sharing their expertise and their information on there. And then you can be an advocate by taking that information and just tossing it up on one of your stories someday and see what kind of feedback. You can add a little poll and say, you know, does this resonate with you? Or how does this make you feel? And ask people questions. Simple things like that can help you become an advocate.
So number four is, you know, I guess kind of the whole gist of what Sarah and I do here is share your story. It does not have to look like what we do on a public stage like this. You could share a story with a neighbor or a friend. You could write your story out and decide later if you want to share it with someone. Your story is educating others about different situations, different experiences, because we all have different situations that occur for each of us with our mental health and mental illnesses. And I just think that stories heal. When I hear other people's stories, I feel like better. I also feel less alone, because I'm like, oh my gosh, somebody else is going through it, or somebody else was down that path. This closed offness, this garbage of like, I'm just going to keep it in my, you know, side of the world because it has to be private. And that might be where you're at today, and that's okay. So maybe just share with your partner. Start close to home and where it's safe and move out from there.
One of the coolest ways that I've seen, because it can be an overwhelming task. So you could say, sure, share my story. Like, where the hell do I start? And a cool thing that I've seen is to, if you could write a letter to your younger self, what would you tell her? That really starts to prompt thoughts on the things that you've gone through and how you can share that story. Dear 9-year-old Sarah, things are going to get really shitty and really hard, but you're going to get through it. And just starting, you know, starting off there and how you got through it and how you felt during it, but how you feel now and what you learned from it. And you can just keep that to yourself and keep it for yourself, or you can choose to share it with someone you trust. I heard some really great advice the other day. If you're not ready to hear the feedback and hear what people say, then don't share it. If you are ready to take what people's comments are, then you can go ahead and share that publicly if you would like.
I think it's important to listen to yourself. There is no shame in not sharing right now. We all know that I didn't share for years and years. Then it was just time to share. I was thinking as you were talking though, Sarah, how cool would it be to have a very like intimate night that's like open mic?
Mm, yeah.
Of a share your
story. Very different open mic. I like that.
We're going to say that each of these is so important. And then I'm going to be like, this one's the most important. Yeah. I hate when I do that. I
feel very passionate
about
that.
Number 5
them.
Is incredibly important to me. I feel very passionate about that one personally. How about that?
I agree with you too. I'm going to throw my weight behind it too.
To help someone struggling with their mental health or mental illness, or help the support person of the partner or family member who's having, you know, a mental health crisis of some way. Maybe they just got a diagnosis. Maybe they are having an episode. Maybe they're in the hospital. Being there for that person is incredibly important. So the first thing is to listen without judgment. What that means is that, you know, you might think, oh my God, they're making so many mistakes, or like, if you don't understand mental health, you're probably like, I don't understand why you can't just like get up and move, or, you know, why are you letting him treat you that way? Because the judgment hurts so bad in those deep, dark moments. Bring food, wine, gift card, Uber Eats, chicken noodle soup, chocolate chip cookies. I don't give a shit. Just throw it at them. Starbucks, like a homemade card. It can be anything. They're not going to ask for it. So you just got to kind of just do it. It goes a really long way. It's just the sentiment, honestly. There's something about knowing someone's trying to take care of you. You're like, oh my gosh, there is someone in this world like caring for me, even if it didn't meet the need. Mm-hmm. If someone didn't know you really well, Sarah, but they sent you food that was full of gluten, mm-hmm. you would still be like, okay, well, my family can eat it.
Yeah.
And that's sad I can't, but it sentiment behind it.
Absolutely. That happened when my mom passed away. I got food that was full of gluten that I couldn't eat, but I didn't care. I felt my heart was bursting of love because I thought, oh my gosh, these people love me so much enough that they spent time cooking this meal for me. Mm-hmm. Like, that is so incredibly important. And my family was able to eat it, like you said. And so, oh, for sure. Yeah. Don't worry about that kind of stuff. Send them the love. Yeah.
Exactly. Check in often, often, often. Even if there's no response, mm-hmm. keep checking in. You know, just thinking about you. What's the latest status? How are you? What's going on? As well as giving grace to them for all the mistakes they're going to make, all the things they're not doing right, and give grace to yourself because you cannot solve this problem. It is not your job to fix them. It is not your job to fix the situation. That is not what you're there for. You're just there to support. So please give grace to yourself, knowing that you can't do everything. The last one I had was to research therapists, hospitals, support groups, and share that information. Even better, if you have time to dig deeper, find out if they're taking new patients. Find out if the organization / support group is up and running still.
Tell them why you're saying that, Amy.
And one of the really, really hard moments where I was not ready for Scott to come home because he was not out of his episode yet, and he had driven the hospital staff crazier than he is. See, that's part of my joking, guys. He had educated himself so much on the patient bill of rights that he had talked the judge into letting him leave. Anyways, he was getting out and I was not ready for him to come home for many reasons. It just wasn't safe yet. So I said, can you please help me find a place for him to stay? So they handed me this piece of paper and I looked at it and I was like, it was one of those moments where I was like, am I on TV? Like, is there a camera? Like, what the fuck is this? It was typed on a typewriter, like with the old paper. And I was like, this can't possibly be your list. And she's like, sure is. But my suspicions were true. When I started calling these people, none of them were in business anymore. None of them were still support groups. They were dead end numbers. It wasn't like any of these people were going to help me find housing. It was old information. I kind of let it out on that poor social worker. I realize now, you know, all overworked. I get it. But like, guys, we can do better than that. And so until the powers that be do better than that, let's see if we can support others with our little Google fingers and try to find organizations, people, places, things that are still around and working and functional and could possibly help.
The ways that Amy just gave are excellent for someone who's in crisis or for someone who's supporting someone in crisis. The next things that I'm going to talk about are kind of more of a daily basis, everyday discussion. And if you're having some difficulties or finding yourself in a slump even, and just changing the language that we use with one another. And Amy and I have talked about this before on previous episodes on how to talk to your friends in a more supportive way. And so I just wanted to come back and revisit that, really just checking in with your friends before you start to dump on them. So before you start to just vent out all of your day's frustrations, or if you're struggling with something and you have something that you just really need to talk through, checking in with that person before you start to let it out. And that can be just something as simple as saying, is it okay to talk right now? I'm really needing some support or advice. You can kind of ask, you know, say which one you're looking for. Are you up to it right now? And then being okay with whatever that answer is. And say, if somebody says, you know, I'm really just not in a place where I can do that at the moment, being okay with that. Also, maybe reiterating that that's a choice to have, to say like, it's really okay if you're not. I want to make sure that it's okay for me to talk to you about this right now.
And sometimes the answer can be not so much as like, no, I'm not ready or I can't, but like, you know what? I'm in the middle of like three meetings. How about this afternoon or this evening? Because I want to give it my full attention and I can't do that right now.
Right. So having those responses ready to go when somebody asks you that question. And then when somebody does approach you to say, I need to talk or I need to vent, is that okay? Or if they just start venting, you can also ask, if you're not sure what to do, you can ask, do you need advice or are you looking for just some support right now? Because some people just want to get it out and they just need somebody to listen. And so you can be there as that support person without feeling like you have to give advice and solve their problems for them. I think it's kind of human nature where we just want everything to be okay. So we think we have to solve the world's problems when really a lot of times what we're looking for is just an ear. You feel a lot better once it all comes out. So those are just some everyday conversation tips for you on what you can say and what you can respond with if somebody comes to you to talk.
Number six, we talked about this on here, to correct those using stigmatizing language. This will go along with your own research. So what is stigmatizing language? So you've looked it up. You've looked at like things that are just not okay to say anymore. Sarah was, before we were on air, talking about how in the 90s, the shit people used to say that you just can't get away with anymore because it's just not okay. And I always feel like no better, do better. So I could kill myself.
That's one.
I'm going to take the bridge. God, you're so bipolar. You know, those are three. I think those are the three that get me the most. Anything about killing yourself, or you put the gun up to your head and like pretend, those are things that are just really insensitive and not good language.
Saying he killed himself or he committed suicide.
He died by suicide. That was the cause of death.
Yes. Saying committed suicide implies that the person committed something criminal. And so we want to avoid that. Another one would be, and I know these are like little ones that are going to seem insignificant, but when somebody is truly suffering from OCD and they have tics and things that are really severe that they are dealing with on a daily basis, just calling yourself because you like things neat and orderly, OCD, that is also stigmatizing language. Also, because you start talking about something else in the middle of talking about another subject does not mean you have ADD or ADHD. And for someone who really struggles on a daily basis with focus, it can be difficult to hear someone just using that flippantly as though it doesn't mean anything.
Which is a hard one because I feel like that is the new thing right now. A lot of people are getting diagnosed with it later in life. So let me just talk about how this is still really hard. I still say crazy, like, that's so crazy. You know, if something wild happens, I try to change it to wild. Like, you'll see me write wild 10 times maybe in a text because I don't want to say crazy. Mm-hmm. But that's a hard one to stop using.
Mm-hmm. It is. That's the hardest one for me. I'm trying to switch to wild instead of crazy.
I know.
Yeah.
So wild. We try to use wild and weird because
yeah.
That's our tagline, but also because it's not attached to a mental illness. You know, I mean, you could say that we're like getting a little nitpicky here, but just be careful of your language. Mm-hmm. Research, figure out which one's stigmatizing to mental illness, and then don't say those. Correcting people is a whole nother difficult road. And I don't always do it, but I do sometimes.
Helping yourself to change the language that you're using is the main step that you need to take. You can worry about helping out other people in their stigmatizing language as you go along and when it feels appropriate and when it feels right. The next is to step up and start taking part in some activities. You can join a nonprofit. You can find walks that you can do for causes. You can reach out to your local politician and find your senator, your state senator, and find something that you're really passionate about in the mental health space and reach out to them. I've done that myself, and I actually was able to get a meeting, not with the senator himself, but with his aide, and she was very open to listening to me. So it is possible to speak to people in positions of power if you feel strongly enough about it. Go for it and fill out those forms and see if you can get a response back. You can petition your school board to see if they will add some mental health information into their curriculum. It can be something as simple as just integrating some mindfulness into the curriculum, talking about meditation. Montessori schools are very open to that. I've done classes there on mindfulness and meditation for children as young as 5. So if we can, the younger we can start to help our kids understand how important our mental health is, the better off we are. It starts at home, obviously, but if you can get it into the schools, even better.
If you need research or facts to back that up, I'm your girl. I had to write a grant for SEL and the reasons why it's so important to have it in the schools and after schools for our kids. There is a lot of research to back that up, a lot of facts. And you know, people in power love that.
Tell everybody who is not a teacher what SEL is.
Oh, social emotional learning. Everything that Sarah just said about mindfulness, trying to help kids understand a little bit more about their emotions, how to regulate them, how to understand, you know, quiet space outside of their technology. So journaling, you know, if we're not to meditation yet, you know, those sorts of things, just integrating that, talking about your feelings, you know, learning how to handle conflict, all of those skills are not taught and even harder now for kids because one, they're seeing more trauma and two, their devices have made them really terrible at communication and they don't understand how to do it appropriately face to face. And so just giving them some skills so that they have a toolbox.
Sometimes thinking about becoming an advocate for anyone can seem like an overwhelming task. And so I hope that we've broken this down into some things that you can do on an everyday basis that are easy enough that it doesn't seem so overwhelming anymore.
For some people, you may be the only safe person. And so while mental health advocacy seems big, just like Sarah said, it could be one singular person that you are helping and you are an advocate. That's it. That, you know, start there and that's great. So we're closing out Mental Health Awareness Month, but we know that here at the UT, that's never ending. So we will continue to bring you topics and stories about mental health and mental illness. If you feel like you want to share your story and you're ready for that, you can do it anonymously. You can do it with your name. You can do it however you want, but you don't even have to have a full episode if you don't want that. You can come on and talk 10 minutes to us. We would love to hear from you because, you know, stories heal. So if you feel ready for that, we are here for it.
We also are starting a new segment with the help of Dr. Katie and with trauma therapist Heather. And they are here to answer your questions. They are our qualified experts, and you can ask whatever you've got going on in those beautiful minds of yours. If there is an issue that's been weighing on you and you would just love some professional advice on it, let us know. There is a form on our link tree that you can fill out there. If you're looking for episodes to help you out, you can find them at www.unqualifiedtherapists.com. You can go to episodes and search by category to find what is most relevant to you and hopefully find some great tools for your own toolbox. But you can also help us by sharing this episode with anybody you think that you might find it relevant. And hopefully that person and yourself get some good information and we can all become advocates and start spreading the word and breaking down that stigma.
Sharing the podcast, following, telling anyone about it, actually having them open up their phone, find it in their podcast and hitting follow, we find tends to work the best. All of those things. Leaving us a review is so important. We haven't talked about that in a while, but that helps to boost us up there. Of course, I can't not say it. Our Patreons are the reason that we can still have this podcast. It's how we keep our mics on. If you want to join for as little as $5 a month, you will be supporting us and getting all the raw, the raw, unedited, weird version of this podcast.
Plus, you get to see us. Not that that's a great treat most of the time, but sometimes it is.
Sometimes it is. Sometimes you get a little tea. No matter what, you're being a mental health advocate by supporting this podcast as we put our stories and our research out there for everyone to hear. So thank you for joining us again this week. We hope that you stay wild.
And weird warriors, we love you. This episode was brought to you by Sarah Simone and Amy Baumgartner. Theme song and other music provided by Epidemic Sound. All episodes are mixed, mastered, and produced by me, Sarah Simone. To help us keep making episodes just like this one, consider supporting us on patreon.com/unqualifiedtherapistsinc. Or share us with a friend, relative, coworker, hairstylist, butcher, baker, candlestick maker. Sharing us not only helps keep the mics on, but it furthers our mission in removing the stigma. If you have a mental health journey you'd like to share, email us at unqualifiedtherapists@gmail.com or reach out to us on our website, www.unqualifiedtherapists.com. Until next time, hold on, warrior. We're gonna make it.